Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is coming home and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579, or from outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing your country code, generally 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I want to kind of set the table before I go to the phones. And this idea of coming home, right? Now, if you don't like your home, I guess that can be a kind of a horrible feeling. But for most people, it's a really nice feeling, the coming home bit. It's, it's that sense of, now I can relax. And for me, it was something that I used to actually associate with my physical home. It was like, I'd get back to my neighborhood and I'd start to relax. And then I'd get towards my house and I'd really start to relax. And then I'd get towards the front door and it was like, And I mean, every now and again, there was a time bomb waiting for me on the other side of the door. But generally speaking, it was just a great feeling to come home, especially if I'd been away for a while, especially if I'd been, somewhere where it was difficult in some ways. Well, then, I don't know what year this was, but after Mina and I had been married for a while, and we had two of our kids, Oliver and Clara, had been born, and we went on a holiday in Spain. We were living in London, and I had to fly back in the middle of the holiday for an audition. I was acting at the time, and I remember being very surprised when I flew back to London and drove back to our home. I didn't have that coming home feeling. And it was noticeable. It was disconcerting. It was like, wow, that's weird. This doesn't feel like home. And then I noticed on the flight back to Spain that as we landed at the airport in Spain, I had that feeling of coming home. And I went, oh, home is where the heart is. Home is now where my family is. Home is not my house anymore. And that was cool. And that was sort of a deeper understanding of coming home. Now, fast forward a few years, and I've been, studying all sorts of philosophies and spiritual teachings and psychologies, and I start to notice that coming home is actually a feeling in me, that it's actually a feeling of coming back to myself, of coming back to a kind of a deeper part of myself that already knows what's what, that's already okay, that knows that it will work out one way or another, that knows that, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. And that might be eternal and immortal and universal and infinite, but it's also kind of tiny and kind of human and kind of doing its best. And it's that place inside us where we're just okay. And we know we're okay. It's a place inside us that's untouched by what's happened to us in the past and unthreatened by what might happen to us in the future. It's home, home base. It's a very simple place. It's a place you know. I know, for a lot of you, you're listening right now and you're going, oh yeah, I know that place. And there's a few of you going, well, I don't know. I mean, is it this place or is it that place? And that's just because when we get riled up in our thinking, it takes us away from home. And the moment we settle back down in our thinking, we're home again. It's like I wrote in the tip this week. You can get the tips for free at supercoach.com. I wrote in the tip this week about a kid having a tantrum. Well, as soon as the tantrum's done, the kid comes back home. It's like a fever breaking. When the fever breaks, you're back to your health. You're back home. And just knowing that home is inside you, that that home is a place that not only can you access and live from on a regular basis, but we're designed to come home. It's like there's a homing beacon that's always pulling us back towards home, always pulling us back towards the spiritual part of ourselves, to this part that's beyond the drama of our personal lives, to that part that's more connected to the whole. There's something that's just very reassuring about seeing that. And it's a beautiful place to live your life from. So we'll talk more about that if you like. We'll talk more about what's on your mind. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. And let's begin right here in L.A. with Teresa. Teresa, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear you. What's on your mind?
Okay, perfect. So I just want to say that I saw the little video on healyourlife.com that you did. I guess it was at a TED Talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've been learning about this coming home thing. I recently relocated, divorced, life, and, you know, and putting the pieces back together.
Yeah.
So I'm getting it. However, externally, when I look at my life, it's like in pieces, you know, as a result of this process. And generally, when I want something, I can get it. But I'm kind of in this place that's making me a little nervous, where my imagination is not even working. I'm just in this place of, I don't know. I don't know if I want to continue with this relationship. I don't know what kind of work I want to do. I don't know. And so just hoping that maybe you could get me to a place of that authenticity so that I can move from that place rather than just doing something to do something.
Okay. So yeah, I think it does. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So on a scale from 1 to 10,
yeah,
where 10 is, I am so all up in it in my head that I, you know, I just don't know my ass from my elbow. And that's an official medical term we use here. And then 1, like at the other end of the stream, is I am living in the peace and bliss of the infinite and divine. Where's your head, you know, around this, on that scale?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure it out a lot.
Right, which would be towards that higher end of the scale.
Yeah, but then I'll have like my moments where I'll sit and meditate, or I'll do something that I know to do to get me to that good place. But it's still this thing that's happening.
So here's what's a little bit different about what I'm talking about to that.
Okay.
Okay, so when we meditate.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we do in the busyness of being up at an 8, 9, or 10 in our heads.
Oh.
Now, it does often take us down to like a 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Right? But it's still part of the noise.
Yeah.
It's a nicer part of the noise.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is that even as all this noise is swirling around inside there, there's a space inside which it is swirling. You are more that space. That space is home. Everything that's swirling around inside it is noise.
Okay.
Now what happens is, when you settle down, when you let the noise settle, and how do I do that? Well, you know, how do you let dust settle? You kind of sit for a while and it does. You just know that it will, so you don't worry about it. Because you're not worried about it, it happens even quicker. There's going to come a point, and it may be in an hour, it may be in a day, it may be in a week. But there's going to come a point where you genuinely settle down. You just kind of find yourself back home. you find yourself back in that solid Teresa place. You know, Teresa at peace, Teresa in faith, Teresa when she knows what's what. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
So is it when you just sit with yourself and just kind of lean into whatever it is?
Well,
and allow that to be?
So I want to try and take it away from the doing, because it'll look different for everybody.
Okay.
So I just want to see if you and I can tease out what home feels like.
Okay.
So have you ever had a time where you've been outside just looking up at the night sky, and you just felt either, you know, at one with it, with the night sky?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of place I'm talking about.
Okay.
And it's a place that, you know, sometimes we associate it with, oh, well, yeah, when I'm out in nature, or, you know, but for most people, it is likely to happen when they're playing with their cat. You know, it happens in moments where you just suddenly feel connected back up. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Tell me about a time where you felt that.
I guess by the ocean, sitting and looking out at the ocean, listening to the waves. And just a sense of oneness, a sense of abundance and connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the space I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not, and I don't know if it feels that way to you, like, yeah, every now and again I get to visit there. That's a really nice place to visit.
Yeah.
That's actually home. That's our spiritual home, that space. And the funny thing is, we operate really well here on earth from heaven. We operate really well out in the world when we're home. But because we sort of undervalue it, we think, yeah, well, that would be nice, but I got stuff to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
We keep ourselves away from home. And so we don't get the benefits of operating from out of that place. We don't get the insights that we get when we're in that place. We don't get the flow of fresh thinking that just comes to us when we're in that place. And the beautiful thing about that place, and you know, having watched the TED Talk, you know, you heard me say it, is it's only ever one thought away. Because that thought is just, you know, a letting go of thought. You know, some people talk about it as surrender or giving up. Some people say, oh, I'm going to give these problems over to a higher power, or I'm going to put them on the back burner. I'm going to turn them over to a different part of my mind. And that leaves you free to just be present, to just be here. Now, as we're talking, If at the beginning of the call you were kind of 7, 8, 9, you know, where's your head now on that sort of calm to crazy scale?
About a 4.
Yeah, so it's moving in that direction.
Yeah. So my question is then: so when it comes to people who know what they're passionate about, or who know what they want, what is it that they're doing when they're clear in that way? And what is it that, you know, can fix somebody? Like, what happens? Is it because they're not operating from that place?
So I hate to be confused on air on my own show because it makes me look bad, but I'm not sure I'm really understanding what the question is.
Okay.
So let's say that we're starting to talk right now.
Okay,
but we're starting to talk from this place. Okay. If there was any one question you had for me, what would it be?
I want to live an amazing life because I've made decisions differently in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to live a life that I'm passionate about and that is inspiring to others and helps others and all of that. And I've had moments of that, and I get that, you know, whether I got in there by default or whatever it is. But I guess with like a big life change, like a divorce, you understand some things differently. And so I don't want to go back to not completely operating from the space that you're talking about. And so when I see people who are living their lives so, like, for instance, for you, like when you speak, it's coming from a really true place. And it's passionate and it's connected. So I'm just wondering, what is it I'm doing that is it because I'm up in my head all the time?
So let me see if I'm understanding. So you're kind of wondering, where's your passion gone? Like, you feeling disconnected from that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you kind of got it in one. It's, we can't feel, you think about, I was talking to somebody about this earlier today. Imagine being a wire, like literally a wire. And that you could feel when the electricity was coming through you and when it wasn't.
Yeah.
So with us humans, what disconnects us from the source, from the power source, what disconnects us from the electricity is thought, is we get caught up in thinking. And that thinking kind of, it's almost like a little sub-circuit, so it kind of detours the power and it goes round in circles and we ruminate on the same thoughts over and over and over again.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, now the power source hasn't gone anywhere, but most of us have learned to look for it in the wrong place. And we've learned to look for it in the form of life. We've learned to look for it in the stuff of life. We've learned to look for it in other people. So we go, let me find a person, because sometimes when I've been with people in the past, I've really felt this power flowing through me. So it must be people, or we put it in a place. I felt it at the beach. So maybe my passion is waiting for me at the beach, or I felt it when I had a job once. So let me find a job where I can get it.
Yeah.
And the only problem with that as a strategy is it doesn't work that way. The system only works one way. It always works from this inner place of power, this inner source, this deeper source out.
Okay.
And so in a way, what you want is the perfect thing to want. Hey, I want to have an amazing life. And I know that a huge part of having an amazing life is feeling amazing.
Yeah.
Is feeling connected up. And the only thing that you've been doing is you've been walking east in search of a sunset.
Yeah.
When it's been sitting inside you the whole time.
Okay.
Now, do you hear that, or does that sound too abstract for you?
I get it, like viscerally, I get it. And then I think, okay, well, like, do I just sit with myself and be in the moment and with this awareness of this connection, and rather than be in my head about everything, just always maintain that awareness as much as possible. And then that will.
Well, let me give you a rule of thumb.
Okay.
The less you have on your mind, the better life gets. And that can kind of guide you through the whole maze. So So, you know, there's an old story about Southwest Airlines. I don't know if you ever fly Southwest Airlines, but Herb Kelleher was the guy who created Southwest Airlines. And he, you know, he's kind of famous for saying that he could teach anyone to run Southwest Airlines in 1 minute. And so a reporter once called him on it and said, okay, teach me how to run Southwest Airlines. And he said, well, the only thing you need to know is that we are the low-cost airlines in the United States of America. And he said, so let me ask you a question as the new acting president of Southwest Airlines. We've done a lot of market research that that shows that our customers would be a lot happier if we sold peanuts on the flight. And it would only add $5 to our ticket prices. Do we sell peanuts? And she said, no, well, we are the low-cost airline in the United States of America. And that just would go against the direction that we're trying to go in. And, you know, he asked her all these different scenarios. Well, we have a chance to do a quick route from Dallas to Tijuana. Do we take it? Well, no, because we are the low-cost airline in the United States of America. Well, in the same way, if you know, hey, the less I have on my mind, the better I'm going to do, the more settled down I am, the more access to wisdom and passion and energy and joy and all the stuff that I'm after is going to come through me, then if one of the things that occurs to you to do is, hey, let me go and try and figure this out, is that something that you're going to do?
No.
No, because that's not going to help you be the low-cost airline in the United States of America, right? That's not going to help settle your mind down.
Yeah.
Now, there may be another time, though, right? This is subtle, but worth seeing, where because you've got so much going on in your head, stopping to try and kind of just clarify and figure stuff out will actually take things off your mind. And in that instance, well, yeah, because that's going to help me live with less on my mind. That's going to help me settle down. That's going to help me come home. And I know that I do really well from home. I do really well when I'm connected up. We all do.
Okay.
Does that feel a bit less abstract?
Yes.
Thank you for phoning, Teresa.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Bye.
Okay.
You know, it's funny that it's so simple, and I think one of the problems with it being so simple is we just get bored. It's like, well, that can't be it. What about all this other stuff that I'm doing? And the other problem with it being that simple is we it's so easy to understand intellectually that we think that's the same as getting it. Right? You can understand a joke intellectually, but if you get it, you laugh. Well, you can understand that when we're at home in ourselves, when we're in a quieter place in ourselves, when we're settled down, we do better. But when you get it, you settle down. You know, my friend Jamie Smart was one of the first people that I taught the Inside Out Understanding to, and he's got a great book called Clarity, which you can get, where he talks about the principles that I talk about in Inside Out Revolution and on the show. And he has an analogy that I love. And he says, imagine you go to, you're a business consultant, and you know, this dog comes to you as a client. And he happens to be a CEO of a dog biscuit company. And so, you're talking to him, and you say, well, what's the problem? How can I help? You know, what are we going to talk about today? And the dog says, well, you know, there's this thing I'm trying to catch hold of, and it's just out of reach. And I really want to grab it. I really want to sink my teeth into it. And you know, now the thing is, it's really fast. So I want you to help me to work on my speed, to get even faster, to have quicker reflexes, because I'm quick, but this thing's just that little bit quicker than I am. And the second thing I'd like you to coach me on is I'd like you to help me kind of be more creative in my thinking, because it's like every strategy I have for grabbing onto this thing, it's one step ahead of me. It's almost like it's in my head. And so I need some creative strategies. I need you to help me think outside the box. And the third thing is you know, that, you know, sometimes I get so kind of frustrated with this that, you know, that I get really stressed out. So I want you to help me manage my stress as I continue to chase this. And so you kind of sit, you listen, you know, in a lovely, quiet mind, and you're reflective and you're present to the dog. And then you say, I think I know what the problem is. You're chasing your own tail. Now, here's how you know whether the dog intellectually understood what you were saying or got it the way you get a joke. If the dog gets it the way you get a joke, he goes, oh my goodness, I am woof. I'm just so embarrassed. But thank you. If you need me to lick something for you or something, I'm incredibly indebted to you. Boy, that's a load off my mind. If the dog only understood you intellectually, like I get it. I'm chasing my tail. He's going to ask you questions like, well, do you have strategies that other dogs use to stop chasing their tails? How can I remind myself? Is there like a non-tail chasing affirmation you can give me? Like, I do not chase my tail. I am okay without my tail in my mouth. And we'll ask all these questions that make sense, but what they actually indicate, what they actually point to, is they just don't get it yet. And for yourself, it's sometimes harder to see, because we understand it, so surely that means we get it. Well, no, you get it when you're done, when you settle down. When it doesn't seem like a good idea to keep trying to figure it out. When it doesn't make sense to not come home when you can come home. When it doesn't seem like, well, yeah, no, I can see that coming home would be really great, really helpful. So after I sort out this marriage thing, after I sort out this business thing, after I sort out this money thing, I'm going to really work on coming home. Well, if it looks that way to you, please don't think I'm judging you for it, because it looked that way to me for most of my life. It still looks that way to me now sometimes. But by the same token, I'd love you to consider the possibility that it's so much easier than that. That you can come home in any moment. You can come back to yourself. Maybe you can do it as an act of will. Maybe it'll just happen, because it happens to all of us. And when you start to get comfortable in that place, when you start to really know that place, life gets so much richer and fresher and more wonderful. Let's go across the country. Let's go to Brooklyn and let's talk to Jackie. Jackie, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. Well, I have a question about work.
Okay.
Okay, so I run a startup. I worked in the corporate world for about 8 years straight. I had a really great job. I worked with great people. It was time to go, though, so I left. And that was about a year ago, exactly.
Yeah.
So for the last year, I've been working on a startup that I started with two of my friends. It's a travel community. It's great. But ever since the beginning of the year, I've been, of course, dealing with fears. And the fear, the big fear that's been coming, and it's a year later now, and it's getting more and more present, is something like, I'm getting deeper and deeper into this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going kind of well, in the sense of that the community is growing, people like it, and as each little baby step happens, I feel very proud in a different way than when I used to feel working for other people. So even though those things are going well, this fear of I'm getting deeper and deeper into this, and I'm wasting time, and I'm not going to be able to get out of it, seems to be getting much stronger and really coming to surface.
Okay,
it's just a bit concerning for me, because I try to see it as a fear and not real, but it's just a bit concerning to me that, like, a year later, it's still really strong.
So what is it that feels so strong? How would, if you were just going to pick that bit?
Okay, this sense of I'm putting so much energy into it, it's going to be harder to get out of. Why am I doing
this? Okay, and what's your answer? Why are you doing it?
It feels like art to me. In a lot of ways, it's fun. I get to play. I get to make it up as I go. I just interviewed some really interesting women that I really enjoyed. And it's just a really positive community.
Okay. So let me tell you what I'm hearing, and you can maybe understand. You can understand why I'm not asking you great questions yet. So here's what I just heard. Yeah, I'm doing this thing. I really love it. I feel really connected to it. It's really exciting, and I'm worried that I might have to keep doing it.
Yes, I know. I know. I mean, thank you for pointing that out. But this is what's been happening for a year. And the feelings are just still so strong. And I call it like almost like a tantrum about once a day or once every other day where it just, it's like a blow up of why am I still doing this?
Well, and that's the thing that I'm trying to understand, Jackie, because I'm trying to understand if it's just a random bit of nuts. Because we all have random bits of nuts, like, right? We all have crazy thoughts, you know, and they're no big deal. They come through, they go, you know, whatever. Oh, the Martians are invading. No, they're probably not. It's okay. Right. So I'm trying to figure out if it's that, which is what it's sounding like. But to you, somehow it sounds like it's coming from a deeper place. And I can't figure out yet. I'm sure that I'm missing a piece, a data point somewhere. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Like, why would you take that seriously? It would be like for me, I'll say it about my wife. My wife's gorgeous, right? You know, and we've been together 25 years. And it's like, if I'm sitting there going, man, I have to have sex with this wonderful, gorgeous woman that I absolutely love. What if I still have to do that next year? And now for me, if I had that thought, it would make me laugh. But for you, when you have that thought, it sounds like, ooh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand that. Like, what is it that makes that seem like it might have some merit?
I can tell you what I think it is. And even if I logically understand it, it kind of isn't breaking it for me.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, sure. Go ahead. Let's make it up for me.
Okay. So this is what I think it is. I have the same thing with relationships in the sense of like after a few months in, particularly if I'm with a really great guy, I feel the same sense of like it's getting too deep and I'm not going to be able to get out of it. I get really, really scared and I you know, back off in some way. I find something wrong. And maybe you were
trapped in a well in a past life.
Mm.
I don't know anything about any of that stuff, but I don't know.
Totally possible. Some sort of, I mean, trap is the word. I mean, my mom, my parents have been in an abusive relationship my whole life. My mom never got out. So I can make the connections of feeling like I'm terrified of being like my mom and never getting out.
So let me ask you a question, Jackie. And I'm sorry that you know you grew up with that, but I want to ask you a question that kind of speaks slightly beyond that.
Okay.
Even though that was what your mom did with her life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why, if you decided tomorrow, if you decided 5 years from now, that this was no longer for you, why couldn't you walk away then?
You know what? I could. And my logic, I could. I could. Yet, I don't feel like I could.
Like,
well,
then
Jackie, why pay attention if you know that you could? When that comes up, what if that coming up was
stay
with me for a second, Jackie.
Okay.
What if that feeling coming up was like farting? Right? Wait, it was like your brain farted.
Okay.
Right, it happens. Right, it happens. You're embarrassed. Maybe you're like, God, I hope nobody else heard that, smelt that, whatever. But that's it. That's the full significance of that feeling.
Right.
How would it be different if you knew that that feeling was just a brain fart?
Well, it would give me a little more peace of mind. In the sense of you just keep going and not pay too much attention to it, because that's just a natural thing of what happens. So I think the tantrums might have a little less attention around them.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
And I think somewhat understanding that, you know, without as great of a symbolic, you know, piece has gotten me through this year. Of understanding, like, these are fear, this isn't real, and I could leave whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so interesting that it's still so strong for me.
Well, and I think that's the misnomer. Like, that's the misunderstanding.
Okay.
Is that strength of feeling equals relevance of thought. See, the way the thought feeling system works, as I understand it,
is
whatever thought comes into our head, consciousness creates a sort of a 3D sense around experience of it. So whatever we think, we feel. The more we think something, the more we feel it. The more actively we think it, the more we feel it. The more often we think it, the more we feel it. The more real it looks to us and the less like just a thought, the more we feel it, the more solid the feeling is. So the volume of feeling isn't to do with the significance of thought. It's to do with the repetition of thought. It's to do with the amount of thinking we have around the thought. It's like if you think of each thought like a flaccid balloon, mm-hmm. right? Each time we put more thought into it, you know, and it starts looking like a bigger and bigger thing. It's still just a balloon. But if we put a lot of ourselves into it, if we put a lot of air into it, if we put a lot of energy into it, it looks really big.
Right?
Still just a balloon. And so the fact that this is such a strong feeling for you, it sounds to me like it's such a strong feeling for you because you get a lot of thinking about it. So you put a lot of air into that balloon. And it's been around for a long time, so you've put a lot of air into that balloon. And so when it shows up, it's like, wow, that's a big-ass balloon.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's more important than any other balloon. It's just a balloon with more air in it. You know, it's like we don't rate the balloons at a children's party according. Well, the Mickey Mouse balloon. Now, that's the important balloon because it's twice the size of the Donald Duck balloon.
Okay.
See, and this is the incredible gift of being able to see and understand thought for what it is. It is the creative energy of life. So I'm not trying to belittle it,
right.
But it's just thought. And the thing is, because we feel our thinking and we live in the feeling of our thinking, if we don't understand that, some thoughts seem more important than other ones.
Right.
So I want to offer that to you almost as a little experiment this week, a little thought experiment.
You know what's interesting that I have never thought of?
What's that?
I actually, like, myself, and I have never used this word. It just doesn't. Is that I've been feeling like a victim to my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I notice my thoughts all the time. I just never saw it in that way.
I think you're going to have a very interesting and very different experience this week.
Okay.
Because when your brain farts, which it will, because it does.
Yeah.
Right? When Bob the homeless guy goes off again in your head, which he will, because he does. Right?
Yeah.
When you see that for what it is, at first you might still be, you know, some of those old feelings will still come up. But you're gonna be standing in a different place in relationship to it.
Okay.
Because you know at a deeper level, and it was very clear, that the reality is when it's time to go, you'll go.
Okay.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Okay.
So, you know, if you're playing along at home, and I hope that you are, you know, you might be kind of going, oh, yeah, well, what's that for me? And which one is that for me? And yeah, but what about these ones? Because these ones do seem really important. And what about, look, we can think so much about our thinking that we can literally drive ourselves nuts. In fact, that's how, that's like, if I had a strategy, if I had to give out a strategy, if this show was like the, you know, Hay House's evil brother, and Louise has an evil cousin and creates a different, you know, an anti-Hay House radio where you deliberately, you know, teach people how to mess up their lives and make themselves more miserable. That would be the strategy I would give, would be think about your thinking and then think about it some more and then really, really try very hard to figure it out. Because we're designed to operate with relatively little on our minds. The mind is a space through which wisdom and thought come. It is a space through which common sense comes. And when that space is continually full of even the most lovely, fluffy, pink, positive balloons, it just makes it harder to see. It makes it harder, you know, it can be hard to hear a flute when there's a brass band marching right next door. And that's why we're drawn to things like meditation. That's why we're drawn to things that quiet our mind. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things if you're drawn to do them. But what they do when they work is they point us back towards home. They point us back towards the quiet that is our birthright, that is our home, our spiritual home, our natural home, our innate well-being, part of the original grace of life. So let me go slightly sideways. Let me share a few things. If you haven't seen it, the first caller made reference to a TED Talk. So I got to do a TED Talk last April, 2 months ago. And it was amazing. And it is now online. It's been online for 2 weeks. And I'm very kind of excited that we've already had over 40,000 people watch it. And it's called Why Aren't We Awesomer? And if you want to see it, you can either go to supercoach.com, and it's right there on the front page, or you can also go just to type in, why aren't we awesomer? No, it is not a real world. Yes, I apologize, Lynn Truss, Eat, Shoots, and Leaves, and anyone else who cares deeply about the English language, but it kind of makes sense in the context of the talk. So that's Why Aren't We Awesomer? You can check that out there. If you want to come see, come experience what I do live, there's a bunch of ways to do that coming up. And the two that I want to kind of share just very quickly, and then I'll go back to the phones. Mary, you're next in the queue. And if you want to get into the queue, 866-254-1579 is the toll-free number to call. The next weekend, Ali Campbell, who is another Hay House radio show host from Scotland, he's been an occasional host, and he's a great Hay House author and a great, great friend of mine, is coming from Scotland to L.A., and he and I will be teaching Friday night and Saturday in L.A. You can find out more about that at supercoach.com/July, and you can also attend that virtually, so you can attend that through a live stream. on your computer. And then in October, we're going to be doing an actual coach training intensive. And this will be the last coach training I'm going to do until 2016. So if you would like to kind of bring more of this understanding into your work, into your family, into your business, into whatever it is that you do, check out coachingfromtheinsideout.com. And that will tell you more about that program. Let's go back to the phones. Let's stay in New York and let's talk with Mary. Mary, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I have a question. I actually spoke with you a couple of years ago, and I'm still struggling with relationships. And I've been in a relationship for about 7 months with somebody who is clearly not really available. And although the conversations have been in the direction of it working out, I know in my heart it's not going to. And my thoughts, I'm having a hard time controlling my thoughts and thinking clearly. And I've read your books and I listen to your show all the time. And it's really getting to the point where I am distracted at work and I just want to settle it and move forward. And I'm really having a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you're going through that. That it sucks when you're in it. Sort of a universal.
Right. Right. So, I'm trying to be in the flow and it's hard to distinguish between the flow and the truth at times.
See, now that's interesting. So first off, what's interesting is that the distinction, and you might have just misspoke, but you said between the flow and the truth. What's the difference between the flow and the truth?
Well, the last time I connected with you on your show, and I've really paid attention to it, is you had advised me to be more in the flow when trying to nurture a relationship or let it happen and just, you know, let it unfold. And I've really been practicing that. And I find myself in a serious relationship now, and it's only been 7 months, but it's you know, committed and monogamous, but it's not truthful. And I know it's not, and I'm having a hard time facing that reality
Mary, let me ask you a question. Given that we don't know you and we don't even know if your real name is Mary, can you tell me a little bit more about what you mean by not truthful?
Well, he's married.
Okay.
And he's been separated for a very, very, very long time, decades, almost 2 decades. And when I agreed to start seeing him, it was under the premise that he was filing for divorce. And I agreed to pursue the relationship and consequently have developed very serious feelings for him. But it's become evident to me that he's not going to end that relationship anytime soon. Although he is separated.
Okay.
They live apart. But
yeah.
It's one of those very dysfunctional things.
Okay.
So
it matters to you that he does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it should or shouldn't. I just...
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he is he saying that he's doing it and just not doing it?
Well, he did initially, and that's why I opened up my heart to him. And then now it's become evident that he's just not capable of it. And after 19 years, I would say it's pretty clear to assume that's true.
Well, look. Capable is kind of the wrong word because it involves a phone call to a lawyer, probably. So I don't think capability is going to be the issue here. But let me put that to one side because I don't have him on the phone with me. So I don't want to, you know, for better or for worse, kind of comment on that. Let me ask you something. Okay. When you have moments of quiet, which you do, you must, right? You would be way more wound up than you are if you didn't at least have little breaks. Heart of hearts, is this a relationship that you want to stay in?
I did up until recently, and then it just doesn't feel good at this point because of certain things he's done. So not done, but just reality of where his commitment is. His commitment is elsewhere.
Now, this bit's a guess. Okay. So I'm just going to ask you to guess, to speculate. If I had him on the show instead of you, and I asked him the same question, heart of hearts, do you really want to be in this relationship? What do you think he would say?
He would say yes, but he will never turn his back on his wife.
Okay.
And that he will always take care of her.
Okay. Well, is that a problem for you that he doesn't turn his back on her and takes care of her?
No, not at all.
No, okay, right. So that's fine. that's not the problem. So I guess my question for you is this, Mary. And it's not a question that I kind of expect a meaningful answer from while we're talking, but it's a question I kind of want to give to you to take away.
Okay.
Is, given that, but for, you know, what has been evidenced by his saying one thing and doing another around his wife, you want to be with him, at least for now, at least to take it deeper. And given that your sense is that but for what he thinks he would have to give up, he wants to be in that with you. You know, is there a conversation for you guys to have, and maybe you have it with a third party, where you look at that together? Because that just seems common sense to me, that if there are two people who really have feelings for one another, who really want to be together, but there's a specific thing that's getting in the way, that it might be worth taking a look at the specific thing together in a context, like I say, whether it's with a third party or whether you're able to kind of get there with each other, where you can just have that conversation.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I mean, you
I'll have to write that down.
I was going to say, so you can listen to the recording. It's, you know, it often is. It's like I was talking to somebody yesterday who really wanted to meet Bill Gates. And I said, well, have you checked his schedule so that you could be where he is? It was like, really? That's it?
Right.
But yeah, sometimes that's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. You know, we have access to so much wisdom and so much common sense. And it's just harder for us to see it when we're up in our heads, and easier for us to see it when we come home, when we settle down, when we quiet down inside ourselves. And when we kind of not just visit there, like in a, you know, for 20 minutes a day in a meditation, but when we really start to recognize that place as home, and we really start to hang out in that quieter place more and more of the time, there's something wonderful that starts to happen. You start to experience yourself at your best more of the time. You start to really have your own common sense and go, well, yeah, it kind of makes sense to do this if this is what I want to do. You kind of get to experience your own deeper wisdom, where you kind of know at a deeper level, not from fear, but from just a deeper knowing what to do or what not to do. And not only that, it's like, don't order yet. You also get to live in more and more beautiful feelings of peace and of joy and of love and of well-being. You also get to connect more deeply with the people around you, with your kids, with your loved ones, even with complete strangers. And you get to live in an unfolding, a revelation of deeper wisdom, a deeper relationship with whatever it is that's beyond us as individuals, and just a greater sense of peace and clarity. Like I said to my wife, you get to smell like fresh baked bread and sound like an ice cream truck. And anyone that smells like fresh baked bread and sounds like an ice cream truck is going to do pretty well in the world. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can check out more at supercoach.com, including our TED Talk, Why Aren't We Awesomer? And I will be back next week with a brand new show. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.